Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us here today. It is good to be with you. It's always a joy to have this time together with our Lord, and I pray that these times help you grow in your relationship with Him, because a relationship with God through Jesus Christ is really the essence of what Christianity is. It's what it means to be a Christian, to be reconciled unto God, adopted as His child, be made right with Him through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship with God. You know, God, our Lord Himself said in John 17:3, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." And so what we have in Christianity is a relationship. And again, I hope that these times help you grow in that relationship, to know Him better, to experience Him, to walk closer to Him, to be able to trust Him, to know Him, to love Him. And so again, I thank you for joining us. These times are a blessing for me. They help me in my walk, in my growth, and I trust that they do for you as well. And since we've come here really for the whole point of meeting with our Lord, let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank you so much, O Lord, for this day. And Father, for the fact that you have brought us into a relationship with yourself. Father, that through your Son you have dealt with our sins. Father, so that you can reconcile us unto you, so we can be adopted as your child. Father, so that we can know your love, so that we can know you. Lord, open our minds and our hearts now to understand your word, and through your word to understand, to know you, to grow in you. And Lord, to be able to walk in your ways, to be close to you, to trust you. Father, speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we open God's Word today to Psalm 43, we come to a topic that probably all of us are familiar with, and you may be experiencing it now. That is going through times of despair. That is when we go through some problem or difficulty that is so great or lasts so long or is so complicated or so serious, it just in fact wears us down. We've all been there. And again, you may be there now. And that's exactly where the inspired writer of Psalm 43 was as he was led to write this psalm. You think about what he said in the very first part of verse 5. "Why are you in despair, O my soul?" Now we read that and we immediately see the connection there with Psalm 42. And a lot of Bible commentators and scholars think that Psalm 43 and 42 originally went together. They may have, but they obviously went together as one psalm, but they obviously at the very least were supposed to be connected together. So we'll go ahead and look at the 43rd psalm just as a message in and of itself, but obviously it's linked back to the 42nd psalm that we looked at last week. But as we look at this psalm, we can home in on this area of dealing with despair. And you think about what the psalmist was inspired to write. Think about what we see as we go ahead and read through the entire psalm. "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against an ungodly nation, and deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God. Why are you in despair, O my soul, and why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him." How do we deal with times of despair? And again, we've all been there, and you may be there now. How do we deal with those times? Well, look at what the psalmist did, and look what we learned from him. First of all, we need to remember God's righteousness, that God is in fact righteous, that He will do what in fact what is right in any and every situation. Again, you think about what we read in verse 1. "Vindicate me, O God. Plead my case against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man." You know, if that sounds like it's written in almost legal terms, it is. It's appealing unto God. It's appealing unto him as the righteous judge, as a judge, again, a righteous judge, who will always rule rightly. A God who, in fact, will make sure that his courtroom, which, in fact, has jurisdiction over everything and all of creation, will always rule and operate in righteousness, that it will find the truth, it will determine the truth, and it will, in fact, make its decisions and its rulings based upon that. You recall it's this very basis that Abraham used when he pleaded with God, when he was praying about Sodom and Gomorrah, when God had revealed to him that he was about to judge those cities because of their tremendous sin, a level of sin that our own nation is trying hard to imitate and to follow. Abraham, of course, concerned about his nephew Lot, and you recall the incident there as he began to ask God, would he judge if there were, you know, 50 or 40 or 30, and wound up being with 10. But you think about the basis of that prayer there that he had before God. You think about what we read in Genesis 18, verse 25, far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of the earth deal justly? In other words, Abraham, as he pleaded with God, knew that God would do what is right in that situation. You and I, as we face circumstances and situations in our life, we can trust that God will, in fact, deal and rule righteously. But, you know, we can also make the comparison not only to the judge, but also to a defense attorney. Or an attorney who, the defense attorney to be sure, but any type of an attorney who is committed to the cause of his client. And he wants, in fact, that he aggressively argues for his client's case. You think about what we read over in 1 John chapter 2 in verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The word advocate there is similar in the role to what we'd have like a defense attorney. Anytime that you and I sin, Satan is there, in fact, to accuse us before God. And again, God will always rule righteously. It's not that we're going to lose God's favor, if you will. But every time Satan is there to accuse us, our Lord is there as our attorney saying, no, this one is mine. He's covered by my blood. But you think about that. You think about an attorney, again, aggressively defending, protecting the interest of his client. And so whether you think about it in terms of a judge who is determined to do what's right, you think about an attorney aggressively protecting the rights of his client, and protecting the affairs and the issues for his client, we can in fact trust the righteousness of God. We have a God who will, if you're thinking about what Abraham said, who will always do what is right. And how that ought to help us in times of despair. Because you know this, you've been there, and again, you may be there now. We go through some very difficult time, and our mind automatically begins to play out 1,000 what ifs. You know, what if this happens? Well, then these consequences might happen. What if this happens? Well, then these consequences. And we're sitting there, you know, how many, you know, all these war games, if you will, in our mind, strategizing or trying to think through what could possibly happen. We need to, and I'm not saying we don't need to be discerning and wise and planning. I'm not taking away from that. But in the attitude of our heart, the rest for our heart, the confidence for our heart, we need to remember the righteousness of God. Like a judge, he will rule rightly. Like our attorney, he's always there, eager to protect our interest. We need to remember the righteousness of God. We also need, secondly, to remember God's presence. You think again about what he said in verse 2, for you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You know, the psalmist is right there in the midst of the problem. And, you know, as we read through this psalm, it seems like he's bouncing because he's in the midst of a very heavy problem. He's bouncing back and forth between trust and fear, between confidence and anxiety. And none of us would ever be that way in a trial. So we're having to talk about this theoretically. And I say that tongue in cheek because we've all been there and you may be there now. No, you We know that we should trust. We know we should rest in God. But like the psalmist, and you see it through the Psalms, probably one reason why we like the book of Psalms so much. We see the various writers, you know, struggling to believe and to trust in the very real issues of life. But think about what the psalmist there is saying. Again, you think about verse 2, "For you are the God of my strength. Why have you rejected me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy?" He says, "You are the God of my strength." He's recognizing there, and he's trying to remind himself, and we need to remind ourselves, of the very presence of God, that he is our strength. You know, Psalm 46 says, verse 1, "God is our refuge and our strength, and a very present help in time of trouble." You think about Hebrews 13:5, where it says, "I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you." You know, even in the very darkest of times, even in the situations that just wear our soul down, we need to remember and consciously remember and go to the scriptures to remind us we are not alone. Our wonderful, loving Lord is in fact with us. He has not left us. He has not abandoned us. He has not walked away from us. He is in fact with us. Even in the most difficult of circumstances, we are not alone. We need to, in fact, remember the very wonderful presence of God. Even, and we need to remind ourselves of that, even when we don't, quote, feel it, we need to base our confidence on the assurance by his promises that he is there. But then notice number 3. We need to remember God's character. That is who he is. You could call it his personality. When we talk about theology, the study of God, we talk about the attributes of God, the various qualities that he has. And because of our humanness, we don't even understand that. We sometimes think of one of God's attributes, say his love or his justice or his mercy or his grace. We sometimes think about those as things that God does. And the problem with that is, we equate that back to ourselves. Well, you know, you may have an individual who is a kind individual, to be sure. And most times you deal with him, he's a very kind individual, but woke up on the wrong side of the bed this morning. Or he's going through a difficult time, and he's just very much on edge, and he's not kind that day. When we talk about God's attributes, they're not so much what he does, they are our feeble attempt to understand who he is. God doesn't have to work himself up to be righteous or gracious or just. It's who he is. And he is all of those. You know, again, in our limited understanding, we try to take one attribute a week or so and try to study it and understand it and comprehend it. God is all of them, all the time, in an immeasurable way. And they're never at conflict with one another. We sometimes think of God's righteousness and God's grace, and we think they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, but with God, he is both at all times. We need to remember the very character of God, who he is. You think about how the psalmist says this in verse 3. "Oh, send out your light and your truth." In other words, it's not the light and truth just don't describe what God does. It describes who God is. You think about what our Lord said over in John chapter 8 and in verse 12. Jesus again spoke to them, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of truth." It's not just that God shows light every now and then. It's the fact that light is a description of who God is. As far as truth, what did Jesus say in John 14:6? "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." It's not that our Lord gets out of bed in the morning, and I'm not trying to be irreverent, and says, "Ooh, I want to walk in truth today," and then does everything truth that day. No, it's just simply who he is. We need to remember who our Lord is. Because when we remember who he is, it makes it easier for us to trust what he does, even when we haven't seen him do it yet. You see this with the psalmist. Think of the latter part of verse 3 on through verse 4. "Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling places. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy, and upon the lyre I shall praise you, O God, my God." We need to remember God's character, who He is. He is so wonderful. It outweighs everything else. And everything else pales in comparison. You think about what the Apostle Paul was inspired to write over in Philippians chapter 3 and verses 7 through 8. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Paul, looking back over his life and all those things he said that at one time seemed to be all that important and helpful to me, they're nothing in comparison to Christ. But we can apply that very same principle, this concept of being in despair. That whatever problem we're going through pales in comparison to Him. Simply because of who He is. That He is, in fact, by His very character, wonderful, trustworthy, glorious. We need to remember who our God is. When we remember who He is, it enables us to trust Him. It puts everything in perspective. It calms our heart. And in fact, leads us back to being able to trust Him again. Which is why it's so important for us to spend time in the Word to know Him. Why we need to come to the Scriptures. Oh God, let me know You. Because as we grow in Him, we grow in our truth. We become more like Him as we allow Him to live in and through us. We need to remember God. We need to, in fact, remember His very character, who He is. But then lastly, we need to remember God's faithfulness. Look at verse 5. Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why are you disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him. Again, the psalmist, like us, we've all been there, and you may be there now, bouncing back and forth between trust and worry and fear. But look what he holds on to. God's faithfulness. He knew that God would, in fact, carry him through. We can hold on through despair because of God's wonderful faithfulness. You think about that illustration that our Lord used, or parable illustration, about the good shepherd. Remember how he had 100 and one of them went astray? He left the 99 and went to look for the one. The shepherd was not satisfied with keeping 99 sheep. He started out with 100. He was going to end up with 100. You may feel like, and you know, maybe not so much to sin, but you may feel like you have, you know, just walking along and fell in a ravine and you can't climb out. The shepherd is faithful. He knows where you are. And he's really right there with you. But he will, in fact, get you and pull you out. He is faithful. We can, in fact, completely and totally trust Him. The shepherd is, in fact, faithful. Now, we all go through times of despair, just as the psalmist did. But our Lord can and will carry us through. We need to fix our eyes on Him. And if you are in a time of despair today, turn your eyes toward Him. Look upon Him, which is what the psalmist did. And our Lord will, in fact, carry you through. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, thank You for Your love, Your faithfulness, just simply who You are. And, O Lord, enable us to trust You, O God, and to rest in You. Lord, I pray especially for those who are going through a difficult time. Let them know Your nearness, Your strength, Your goodness, Your faithfulness. Lord, let them feel You lift them up. Let them see You guiding them through, providing for everything that they need. O Lord God, watch over them and carry them, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I do hope that you have a good rest of this day, however much of it's left, based upon when you watch this. Hope that you keep your eyes on the shepherd, that you'll experience His love, His guidance, His faithfulness, His goodness. We have a wonderful shepherd, and you can trust Him with everything.